Today's June 2nd, 2024. Current Bitcoin price is $68,062.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
How's it going, Rick?
It's going. I'm still alive, so that's all that matters.
Yeah. Just word of caution out there. I think people are starting to lose their minds nowadays, so be careful about who you're cohorting with.
Exactly.
There's been a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world lately. I mean, I think there's a lot of different pressures, things piling up on people. Obviously, inflation's a big deal, been affecting a lot of people. And then I think we kind of talked about this. I don't want to go too far into this, but we kind of talked about this with El Salvador, right? Like what we were talking about that with before. It wasn't necessarily poverty that caused a lot of the crime, or it was, or?
Well, it was kind of like the levels of crime that they had made them all poor.
Yeah.
And it also, I mean, the drugs or the cartels basically ran that country, and they were charging, you know, your fee, your monthly fee, and if you didn't pay, you would get killed. So,
yeah,
I mean, just craziness on top of craziness.
Yeah, and I think you know, we see a epidemic of, you know, it used to be like meth was one thing, but now I think fentanyl is playing a big picture into a lot of this stuff. So, just be careful on who you're around, and be careful in public spaces, those types of things. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and apologies for not putting together an episode. Our lives have been kind of busy and a little bit crazy.
So. Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna try and get back on track here. A lot of things going on in the month of May, but we'll try and get back on a regular schedule again for June. So we do apologize for those that we've been left kind of hanging. What are we looking at currently on our theoretical purchases, Rick?
Okay, theoretical purchase back in October. The 0.0885 Bitcoin is now $6,000, so doubled in price. So we're doing good if you purchased back in October, late October.
Yeah.
At the halving, if you bought $1,000, it would get you to basically 0.00156. And that was basically 63,000. And with the price now at 68, you're at 164. So, I mean, it's a very small but modest gain, but you're up.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, one of the things that I was looking at here too, like we had charted out a while back, we were stuck in a channel for a long time, and I know the price, we've kind of discussed this between you and I, you know, it's been kind of boring price action, but honestly, for the most part, we broke out of the channel, looks like on May 20th, and so we've been riding kind of this resistance line throughout this whole time. Like, we had that, what was possibly a inverse head and shoulders, and then we broke out above that. On the 20th, and that was when we broke that price of 68,000, and that trend line is still going down, so it does give us a little bit of room to continue to move down, but we're right there at that trend line again, you know, heading into the end of the week. So we'll have to see where this kind of goes. Like, I mean, really, either we're going to break down, or we're going to pop up, or we're going to continue to trade sideways.
It's really hard to just keep track of what's happening.
Yeah. And one of the things that we've been looking at, you know, past few episodes that we've been doing, or the few episodes that we've been doing lately, has been a lot of, we've been looking at the flow table for the ETFs, and, you know, they continue to gain steam in a lot of ways. Like, there was this lull period for a little while there where, like, IBIT wasn't buying, people were kind of panicking, like, what was going on? And then it looks like the tides kind of shifted on May 21st, which was right after that breakup above that we talked about. You know, you had IBIT, they purchased 290 that day, 290 million. And then ever since then, they've had some pretty nice inflows. The lowest day since then was, it looks like the May 30th, they bought only 1.6 million. But then on the 31st, they did 169 million on there. And at the same time, like, we, you know, Grayscale's been the big one that's been continuing to outflow. And even that day on May 31st, they had 124 million worth of outflows that came out that day. So, I mean, it didn't top what IBIT had purchased. And I think currently now IBIT has now, which is BlackRock, they have now flipped, Grayscale. So they have more Bitcoin than what Grayscale had. And you got to remember, Grayscale was the big dog going into this thing. And that has now officially been flipped over. So, yeah, I mean, if we look at the chart and we're looking at the flows, basically we're seeing positive net inflows every day again. So that's been a continuous trend. All except for, obviously, when we had a holiday here in the United States on the 27th. So, interesting times for sure. You know, we don't know how this is going to play out. And one of the things we kind of talked about and touched on before the episode kind of got going was it appears that this is going to be the first election where Bitcoin's going to play a pretty big role with this presidential election coming up.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of fascinating. I mean, just the fact that there was a bipartisan bill voted on by the House and the Senate that went to Joe Biden, you know, about, you know, deregulating. What was it basically about? Like taking
basically
some of the SEC's power?
Yeah, they were going to take away some of the SEC's power. The guidance was going to move away from there. It also, had something in there that was going to ban the creation of central bank digital currencies. And it was also going to allow banks to be able to do their own self-custody on Bitcoin. And honestly, like it was amazing to see, like it got passed with, like you said, it was bipartisan, right? Like it was incredible to see. And as of yesterday, it looks like Biden vetoed that he wasn't gonna allow that to go through.
Yeah. Well, but at the same time, I mean, the SEC did grant the BlackRock Ethereum ETS.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, so go ahead.
I mean, just time out on that one is like, I really do think that Ethereum is a security. I mean,
yeah,
I'm not trying to get too political about it, but it's controlled by a handful of people and they're issuing it. I don't really have a ton of trust in Ethereum. And that's kind of crazy that that's flipped out of nowhere.
Well, one of the things that concerns me with Ethereum, and not that I don't like the project, I don't want to be, you know, I own some Ethereum, but one of the things I think about with Ethereum is that because they've gone to this proof of stake model rather than proof of work,
exactly.
What that means basically, like right now, like we're seeing a lot of consolidation of the institutional companies owning Bitcoin, right? But the way that Bitcoin is set up, it doesn't matter how much you own, you cannot affect the overall algorithm, right, that affects it, like the nodes and the miners and those types of things. Now, obviously, if BlackRock ended up buying a majority of the miners and that kind of thing, that could be a different story. But just holding the Bitcoin doesn't allow you to do that. And with Ethereum, it's the opposite of that, where the people that have the majority of the Ether tokens can actually control the consensus.
Exactly.
And you know,
Bitcoin is democratized, right? It's just
right.
Whoever is mining, because it's the proof of work. But if you have a stake, it's proof of your stake. The more you have, the more you have to gain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the more powerful you are in it, because you control the creation of the ether. You control all that stuff. Whereas Bitcoin, it doesn't matter. You could have, you know, you could have all 20 million Bitcoin, you know, but that doesn't mean you get to affect the way that it's issued or anything else.
Right.
So, you know, ownership does not grant you a seat at the table, basically, with Bitcoin, which was beautiful about Bitcoin, in my opinion. And Ether used to be that way, and then they made that shift to make themselves appear more green, whatever the case may be. And to me, that's kind of concerning, because at that point, you know, only the rich, you know, goes back to the rich, will be able to sway whatever happens within the algorithm and the consensus of Ethereum at that point. So, yeah, a little bit disturbing, you know, but it was, I mean, I didn't know what was going to happen. I think there was a lot of fervor leading up to the ETH announcement. But I figured, I was like, more than likely, because BlackRock had kind of initiated the ETH fund. And because, you know, we'd already seen the SEC lose their case against Grayscale, that they were probably going to have to pass the Ethereum one. I didn't know for sure if it was going to be now or if they were going to push it a little bit further. But we saw the approval happen. And I mean, ETH actually hasn't done much with that, but I mean, we saw the same thing with Bitcoin, right?
Well, it did pretty well for a bit. It went from below 3,000 to 3,900.
Did it?
Yeah. So that's a pretty substantial gain in price. I haven't checked what it's at lately, but The other question, I mean, here's the deal. If they're going to do an ETF with Ethereum, how much does Grayscale own?
You know, and I don't know. I'd have to do some research on that and see, because Grayscale does have, I know that they had bought some ETH because they had another fund that they had started to put together along with the Bitcoin fund. I'd have to look at that, look at some numbers on that. So we may have to pull up some more information as time goes on. But yeah, I was just looking at the chart when that approval went through. We went from a price of $3,068 up to a high of $3,988. We pulled back a little bit. Now we're at $3,780. But yeah, so there was a nice little pump. By no means, I mean, we already had a previous high on ETH this year of about $4,102. So we haven't crossed that yet, but that's kind of putting us back up on track for that.
Yeah, interesting times.
Yeah. So, no, I think it's, there's a lot of positive stuff that's happening. I mean, you've got to remember the Bitcoin ETFs, as these purchases are happening, this is more Bitcoin than what is being mined in a day is continuing to be bought up. And I know we went from a lull there for a little while. And I think, you know, a lot of people are still waiting on to see what the Fed's going to do in the coming week. You know, are we going to have, because this week, I think there was supposed to be some Fed news that was going to come out. And then the following week will be our CPI print for May. So, you know, I know the Fed really wants to cut rates. Whether they'll openly say that or not, they want to cut rates. So it's just a matter, like, if we get two prints where they're like, oh, it's gone down a little bit, enough for us to say, yeah, let's go ahead and let's do a cut. Kind of relieve some of that pressure on the banking system. But, you know, or they still want to wait for a crack to appear.
Yeah, I think that if interest or inflation appears to go down in whatever BS metrics they're using, they're going to have an excuse to cut rates. I don't know when that will happen, but I'm pretty sure before the election, interest rates will be cut.
Yeah.
If they keep holding, I mean, there's so much cracks in the economy. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, and like we said, I mean, this is the first time where crypto and Bitcoin is going to play a role in the election. Like, this is going to be very interesting to see. I think they said like 33% of people poll say that the candidate's stance on Bitcoin is going to have a sway on their voting decision. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Sorry, we don't have a whole lot more to bring you today, but like I said, we are going to get back in the swing of things and try and get some more information out to you in a more timely manner. So is there anything else you wanted to bring up today?
Yeah, just sign up for the newsletter. We're going to be pumping out that, especially as different developments happen. I mean, I'm going to cover mostly Bitcoin, but as other things happen, I'll be watching it and giving my take on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And always, when you sign up for the newsletter, you do get your PDF to allow you to, it's a self-custody checklist, basically give you a little bit of extra security blanket, especially if you don't have anybody around that could serve as a mentor when you're trying to do your self-custody. So I think that's helpful.
Indeed.
So thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you all again soon.
Alrighty. Bye.